Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? I am your ever so modest host. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm a four-time Golden Glove boxing champion, and I've won some awards for my boxing writing. So supposedly, allegedly, I'm supposed to know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I've always found the average fan knows more. They got a different insight. So at the start of each show, I open up the toll-free just once and give you this opportunity to be part of the show if you'd like. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. That's the Ring Talk listener line. Of course, you want to text us here in the studio. That number is 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, I may go into a rant on that bare-knuckle boxing thing a little bit later today. Of course, I still haven't got over the fact that the guy died. I mean, he was like 0-5 in his last five fights, got knocked out in the last five fights, and they put him in a fight, a real fight, and he got beat up and he died. No surprise there, I don't think. Anyway, bottom line is Shakur Stevenson, 2016 Olympian in action tonight. 16-0, taking on Jamal Herring, twice-beaten fighter, a champion at 130 pounds. We'll see what happens here. But is Shakur Stevenson the real deal? That and more with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Oh, sportsbyline.com. I keep going and going, but the bottom line is you can be watching this as well on twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, for a live video stream as I speak. That's twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA. You're tuned to Ring Talk, but I think you know that. As I juggle about 1,000 things in the studio right now, including my professional life, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA to an extent. Of course, am I phasing out mixed martial arts? Am I sort of like not talking about Dana White and his crew? You know, there's not a whole lot to talk about. I mean, if you want to put some stars forward, you know, put some real guys out there, I'm ready to cover it. But the bottom line is he's sort of like putting no names against no names against no names against no names. And I'm sort of tired of even Dana White's productions to begin with. But then again, with no names, you know, you got to lure me. You got to give me something I want to watch. And there was some talent. And the bottom line is Dana's not delivering. But the UFC making their money. I think, what did they make? $275 million last year. And only 5 to 10% went to the talent. Yeah, you know, a hook. I know many pimps that would be happy with money ratios like that. Now, we go from pimps to PhDs. We take it to the East Coast. We talk about the Bronx Bomber, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. Nice segue there.
Okay, well, what can I say? Only I can roll sometimes like that. Who is Jamal Herring?
Jamal Herring is a very credible fighter. He's a real class act. Former U.S. Marine sergeant from Rockville Center, Long Island. And he is looking to derail the Shakur Stevenson hype train into stardom. It's going to be a tall task, but it's a really, really good fight and a nice test for Shakur Stevenson to see if he's in that next level of what he's been hyped up to be. You know, I'm still not sold.
But don't you have to have some pop? I mean, he doesn't seem to have any pop. And not only does he lack pop, I'm talking about double S Shakur Stevenson, I believe he's the 2016 Olympic silver medalist. But he doesn't commit himself. You've got to be able to throw, if you want to be a great fighter, you can throw 3, 4s, 5s, maybe even more as far as combinations are, unless you're like a knockout guy and you boom, boom, it's all over. But he's not a boom, boom guy. So he doesn't want to commit himself and throw the hook. He throws a jab and then a cross. And then he's sort of like, yeah, I'm sort of done at that point in time. That's not the earmarks of a great fighter to me.
I think you bring up a very valid point. He's definitely self-preservation, defense first, and he's been able to do that against the level of competition that he's fought. I think that he's going to have to show a different dynamic to his game to beat Jamal Herring. Jamal Herring, he has been stopped. You know, he's lost. He lost to a tough Russian fighter, but that was about 4 years ago, and he seems to have gotten better. The last 2 years, he's training. He's in that part of that Bud Crawford camp. So he's getting good sparring. My only concern is that he's 35, you know, and being an ex-Marine, that body has some miles on it. Now, his conditioning, I will not question. You know that he's a guy with discipline. He's never going to be out of shape. But, you know, sometimes, especially those lighter divisions, guys get older faster. And Shakur Stevenson, physically, he's shorty. I think he's about 5'7", 5'8", but he's a thick built, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a good neck on him. Herring has to stylistically, this could be a snooze fest. I hope the fight doesn't happen, you know, after midnight, because it could put me to sleep. But Jamal Herring is the B-side. He's going to have to take risk in this fight. Stevenson is the heir apparent, you know, to whatever they want to build him up to be, as he said it himself, the next Floyd Mayweather, yet this and that.
Oh.
But Herring has to go out and win this fight. I don't think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt from any judges. He has to
Are you implying the boxing establishment is against him in this one?
Not against him, but he's not expected to win. Let's face it. Okay. You know, he is the adult. He's 35. He's the one with the grown man strength in this fight. He has to impose that on Shakur Stevenson early and let him know that he's here not to feed him a trinket belt. You know, I'm not a stepping stone, you know, and he showed me something when he beat Carl Frampton. Carl Frampton to me is a future Hall of Famer, and he really handled it. In impressive fashion. Sometimes guys get, you know, they hit their stride late in their career. This seems like it happened to Herring. You know, he's gotten better. He's gotten older. Shakur Stevenson, it's his time to shine. It's an interesting fight. You know, it's a really, really good fight, and I'm looking forward to it.
You know, Carl Frampton came alive at a 2200, I believe 122, 126, and 130 pounds he lost against with Herring at. Bottom line is, size matters. As he moved up, you could see his body was smaller, and he was like, you know. You know, I mean, you can look at him. He was a smaller guy there at 130 pounds.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, and he really kind of peaked at that weight. Herring is a guy that I believe started his career at like junior welterweight.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's.
And he got disciplined.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he got disciplined. He was stopped. You know, so it's. He has really improved his game. You know, and he's a guy that, from what I understand, started boxing late, like in his 20s. You know, so, you know, we always go back to that, you know, is guys that start a little late in life, you know, with boxing, you know, because it's like kind of like a fallback plan. But this is a little different. This is a guy that was in the, you know, was a military man. And so it's not like, you know, he just fell into boxing, you know. It's not like because he couldn't play football anymore. You know, it's a little different. Than some like these heavyweights. Shakur Stevenson, lots of talent, defensive minded. He's probably lost about maybe 3 rounds his whole career up to this point, which is impressive.
Listen, you can't be boxing these guys. I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt you on this, Mr. Uh-huh. PhD, but you can't be mm-hmm. boxing these guys. You got to rough these guys up. Shakur Stevenson, you got to rough him up. I'd be stepping on his foot. I'd be throwing elbows at him. I'd be like, whoa! I mean, you think his eyes are open now? You want to say, well, I mean,
yes.
I mean, his eyes would be like silver dollars in front of me because of the fact that I would try to bring something different. I mean, these guys try to go in there and try to out. I hope Herring isn't going to try to outbox him here, because if Herring's going to try to outbox him, it's like he might as well just like not even show up.
I agree. That's what I really alluded to, that he has to bring that grown man adult strength in this fight. Now, they're both left-handed. I'm sure they're going to step on each other's foot unintentionally, but I agree with you. I would do it on purpose sometimes too tonight. He's got to be the bigger man in there. He's got to show Shakur that I'm not here to just be a co-star, you know, and get his respect early. Shakur is a young guy. Maybe that, you know, he gets emotional, gets careless, he gets caught with something. He has to rough him up. I totally agree with you, Pete.
You know, I remember fighting down in the valley one time against a guy that was just a beast. And I said to myself, you know, I can't box this guy. I'm going to have to get mean with him and do things and this and that. And, you know, I did all kinds of crazy things to him. I mean, I talked to him. I stepped on his feet. I roughed him up inside. There was all these psychological games. It's part of boxing. Now, Shakur Stevenson, he is, although 16-0, and the other guy's 23-2, Jamal Herring. Herring has lost those two fights, being stopped once, I believe, in Germany. He was behind on the scorecards there, and he lost a 10-round decision to Ladarius Miller, who was 13-1. That was back in 2017. But he's been on a roll since then. And, you know, the fact that he rolled over Carl Frampton, you say Carl Frampton is a future Hall of Famer. The fact that he rolled over Carl Frampton, he dropped him a couple times en route, man. You know, that's sort of, I think he was making a statement, and I think a statement's going to continue tonight. I don't think there's going to be an easy night walk in the park for Shakur Stevenson, unless he wants to prove to me that he's great.
I am right on board with you again. Shakur has to show me that he's more than just what ESPN is throwing down my throat every time he's there. You know, show me that he's great. The last time he fought, you know, he put me to sleep. And Tim Bradley, to his credit, called him out on it. You know, who between Tim Bradley and of course Andre Ward, who has his own personal interest in Shakur Stevenson, he was very objective in saying that it was a boring fight. Now,
they don't tell people you stunk anymore, do they?
Not since Teddy Atlas left. Right? Yes. It's pretty much a top-ranked PR show. Yes. No, they don't.
Well,
but credit to Tim Bradley.
Listen, give Bob Arum his props. He's 85, 86 years old now. I'll never forget what he told me in like 1989 or 1990. We were all watching. We were at some press party. And he says to me, he goes, hey, Fernandez, do you do coke? And I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm saying to myself, whoa. And I go, no, sir, I don't. He goes, yeah, well, most of these guys do here, okay? And that's the reason why they're going to be dead by the age of 50. Or they're all messed up. Look, they're drinking this and that. Listen, kid, if you stick with the weed, you'll be okay. Listen to me. If you stick with the weed, you'll be okay. Bob Arum pats me on the shoulder and walks away. And he's still smoking it. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tower of Power to the break. Back after the break with Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Unbelievable.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Something relatively new from the Tower of Power. Of course, they've got their thing going on now since, God, 1968. They're some old dudes, man, and they've got a new lead singer. And unfortunately, I won't say unfortunately, but, you know, I always liked it when they brought younger guys in to sing lead. The reason why is it brought young talent, young blood to the stage, isn't that? Well, they've got a dude that's like older than Cuddy. So Cuddy's laughing. But the bottom line is, he sounds palatable, but not great. Anyway, bottom line is, Tower of Power on tour. Check him out, towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, 37. Make that 38 plus years now. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. And I'm going to go off a boxing script here and bring it to the world of mixed martial arts, because Fedor is going to fight tonight. Socrates, Fedor Emelianenko. Of course, you and I remember him from the from the Pride days. I mean, good Lord, that was like 15 years ago, wasn't it?
At least. Wow, I had not. Fedor, I thought he retired when he, what was the last fight he had? Was it against Chael Sonnen on Bellator?
Well, it was 45 years now. 45 years. He's 45 years old. So, you know, anyway, I remember he was a guy that when he came to the USC, he didn't want to train in a cage. Was he the guy? I think he was. He was the guy. Yeah, because he came from Pride and they fought in the ring there. So he didn't want to train in a cage. Imagine that, going into a cage and you've never trained in a cage before. You wonder why he was unsuccessful?
I didn't know that little bit, about, Fedor and him not wanting to be in the octagon. It's a different type of thing because, I mean, you actually can use the cage as a strategy. You know, you've seen guys, especially when they go into those clinches in the corner, something you can't do in the ring, obviously. You know, you guys grab on, you know, with their toes to the link of the gate, of the cage. So, I didn't know that about Fedor, but wow, I'm shocked. What promotion is he going to be on tonight?
Bellator. Good old Bellator. Scott Coker, my buddy Scott Coker, the guy that stiffed me. Hey, Cuddy remembers really? This one. I went to San Jose to meet him for lunch, and he didn't show up. And he didn't call, and he didn't take phone calls, and he didn't take texts. He just left me sitting there.
Ouch. This was in San Fran?
San Jose, California. I live in the city. He's based in San Jose.
Wow, that's not cool. And you never heard from him since?
Nah, when I saw him the one time since then, I just like, you know, looked at him like, you know, I look at sometimes I look at people off the tip of my nose, not too often, but that was a case I might have done that.
Okay. Wow. But, so 40, what was Fedor?
45. 40. Hey, here's what's up. He admits to being 45. You know how those Russian guys lie about their age. Holy cow.
I mean,
I don't know if I told you about this. We were working with guys in Florida. Harold Smith had a couple guys in Florida, and this guy tried to tell me he was like 28 years old. And I'm looking at him going, you know, if you're 28 years old, you've got like 250,000 miles on your odometer. And no, he wasn't 28 years old. And the bottom line is because they can lie about their age. Once they come over here on a boat flotilla, I mean, who's to say they're not 17 or 19? They are what they are, supposedly. Or they are what they say.
Right. It's like the Cuban amateurs.
Joel Casamayor. I always thought he was like, I think Joel Casamayor is older than me. He's a 1992 Olympic gold medalist. I think he's older than me. I kid you not. I mean, that dude, he looks so old. I used to say to myself, that dude looks old. They told me, Petey's only 28 years old. Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe, in dog years, I guess. I don't know.
That's a good one. In dog years. Now we are a fortnight removed, of course, from the heavyweight championship of the world, the knockdown, drag-out battle that it was between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Tyson Fury made that a whole lot more. I watched it again yesterday. And Tyson Fury made that a whole lot more difficult than he had to be because he actually pulled a William Joppy. And what I mean by a William Joppy is he stood right in front of Deontay Wilder's right hand late in that fight and said, throw it. And, you know, Joppy did that. William Joppy did that early on with Trinidad. And I begged him not to. I begged him not to. And he wouldn't listen to me. But, yeah, you got lit up like the White House Christmas tree because punching power, you know, take away what you want from Wilder as far as his ability to accept defeat. But outside of that, man, he can punch with that right hand. And in that, I don't think it was the ninth round where he hit Tyson Fury on the forehead, on the cranium, and I think that's where he broke the hand. But the bottom line is, much power. Tyson Fury stood in front of him. I think Tyson Fury invited those couple of knockdowns, those rumbles that he had, and had he fought a little bit more safer, a little bit more disciplined, I think Tyson Fury would have won easier.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because in the first time they fought, I mean, Fury completely outboxed him, outclassed him. And then it was a different fighter, you know, an aggressive man that imposed his physicality on Deontay Wilder and showed something that he didn't have in the past, which was you know, his punching power. And Deontay Wilder was dangerous up until the last minute. You know, that's, he showed, like I said, I gave him more credit in defeat than I had in any of his previous wins. You know, he was a, he went out guns a-blazing.
You know, he always, I want to go out on my shield. He went out on his shield without a doubt. No doubt about that. But, you know, now we look at the rest of the heavyweight division. I think they're talking about maybe Tyson Fury having to fight Dillian White. Who is Dillian White?
A guy with a bum shoulder, apparently. He was supposed to fight today, wasn't he? Against Otto Wallin? Or next week?
I thought Wallin was out, no?
No, it's Dillian White that got hurt. I hope I'm not confusing the two. But, yeah, he Dillian White hurt his shoulder, and now we have a postponement. He is someone who's never happy on an interview. Yeah, Dillian White. Injured shoulder. Yeah. You ever heard a Dillian White interview? He is a salty dude. You know, he's always criticizing everybody. He's kind of like me against the world, chip on my shoulder. Talented fighter, recovered from one of the most brutal knockouts you ever want to see. He got starched by Povetkin. But he's a tough dude, you know. Hopefully the shoulder is nothing serious, and we get that fight against Wallin, which is a real interesting crossroads fight. Wallin, the New Yorker, big heavyweight, gave Tyson Fury a run for his money. Probably an uninspired Fury, but nonetheless, you know, he played his part. So I was looking forward to him and Dillian White, and probably the winner of that will be next in line to fight Fury.
Okay. Speaking of Tyson Fury, he went back home and, you know, he had a little bit of a celebration, this and that. He seems to be, grounded as far as his emotions are concerned, but he wasn't in the kind of shape I thought he should have been in. In other words, if he was my guy, I don't know, you know, I'm not criticizing the trainers or anything like that, but I just thought he looked a little too flabby for me. In other words, I just, you know, and he wasn't popping the jab. He just wasn't doing I thought he wasn't as good as he was the fight before.
I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, who knows? You know, we're not in these meetings and what their game plan is. But you're right. I mean, his body certainly looks like someone who doesn't take training serious. But, you know, in the 12th round, he was still throwing. You know, he was not tired. So he's got some special kind of conditioning. He's not what you want a fighter to per se look like. He kind of fights the way his life has been, kind of inconsistent. Okay. If you stop and think about that, you know what I mean?
Dillian White reminds me of a guy by the name of Calvin Tankman. Do you know who that is?
Not at all, sir.
He's an African American professional wrestler, and he's got a few extra pounds on him.
Calvin Tankman.
He's with MLW Wrestling. He's one of their up-and-coming stars in this. I thought I would give them a little plug here. Bottom line is, kayfabe is, I don't know, the WWE, they're not delivering as far as kayfabe's concerned, and there's no more WCW. Is AEW filling the void?
Not really. To me, no. You know, I think that, you know, hey, to their credit, they're on the major network, which is half the battle, being on TNT, and they do have a market. I don't particularly care for, you know, some of the stuff they do. You know, listen, I'm 44. I'm going to, you know, God willing, I'll be 44 in November. I like my wrestlers to look like wrestlers.
I like big guys.
I mean, the Young Bucks, I mean, a bunch of guys flipping around, you know, like, if you saw the Young Bucks in the airport, you know, you'd size them up, wouldn't you?
No doubt about that. I got to run. All the best to you. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer Jr. Say hello to the family and the agent. I wish you the best this week, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the fights.
The great Socrates Palmer, appearing exclusively on Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline. More after the break. You're tuned to Ring Talk and WBC TV.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
tonight with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
My mother said it's not bragging when you're telling the truth, son. Unfortunately, she stole that line from Muhammad Ali. My mother's a plagiarist. I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk. I thought it was her line. For years, I thought it was her line. And then I read it in the book. It was Muhammad Ali's line. So his mom must have been doing some Muhammad Ali reading behind my back. But the bottom line is, she was very supportive of my boxing endeavors. No doubt about that. Without her, I would have never attained the levels that I did. I mean, some friends of mine kicked me in the ass and got me in the right direction, but she made me run. And running was the key to my boxing success. You have to have boxing ability, but that running, man, nothing beats road work. I kid you not. Nothing beats road work. Now, I want to mention the fact that my favorite guy, of course, Dana White, not wink wink. Anyway, he's got a card going tonight in Las Vegas. Paola Costa, fighting a light heavyweight. Now, the guy's one of these guys that comes in, he weighs 205 pounds at the weigh-in, and then come fight time, he's 240 pounds. I mean, the guy can put on like 35 pounds. I kid you not. I'm not exaggerating. He can put on 25, 30 pounds. He just puts it on. So anyways, to take on, Marvin Vett, and I guess Marvin's being brought in here as lunch meat, but we'll see what happens with that one. That's a light heavyweight main event tonight, 5 rounds, coming to you from the, Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada on ESPN Plus. The co-feature is Grant Dawson versus Rick Glenn. Of course, you've heard of those guys, right? No, neither have I. How about this one? One women's bantamweight bout. Jessica Rose Clark taking on Jocelyn Edwards. Haven't heard of that duo either. Alex Casinas, I have heard of him. He's taking on Sung-Woo Choi. Okay, that's a guy from Korea, obviously. Dwight Grant and Francisco Trinidado. Bottom line is, I don't know any of these people that are supposed to follow this, but there's a lot of Korean action on here. Jung Young Park is in action. He's going to take on a guy by the name of Gregory Rodriguez. Good luck, Gregory, because Gregory hasn't got a bio on the UFC page, and the Korean does. That's sort of an indication you're going to get lit up like the White House Christmas tree. I kid you not. The guys that don't have bios as far as Wikipedia and that kind of good stuff is concerned, and they're in these UFC fights, 9 out of 10, more than 9 out of 10 times, you can bet against them and they will lose. That's because that's just the way it is. Okay? But, you know, on occasion they do pull off the upset. Not too often, believe me, not too often. But it looks like there's a lot of those guys as far as the UFC is concerned. And you know what? I will give Dana credit for this. He's made a lot of money. He's got a good fan base. I mean, the fan base that the UFC has, I mean, they're diehards for the most part. You know, they go in weekend after weekend, week out, through all the good events and the bad events. And I won't say more events are bad than good. I would just say that the UFC fails to deliver. And what I mean by that is, if you're looking for competition, if you're looking for good fighting, I mean, good, you know, getting it down, they sort of lack at times. And the reason why they lack at times is they don't know when to stop a fight. Now, here I go again. But the bottom line is, Hector's going to say, this is a hurting business, man. What are you talking about, boxing safety and ring safety? Because you don't take unnecessary punishment, or you don't adhere unnecessary punishment on somebody if it isn't necessary. In other words, if you won the fight, like Alexander Volkanovski and Brian Ortega a fortnight ago, or maybe a fortnight ago, bottom line is, I mean, he was getting lit up like the, I mean, he was being abused. I mean, if they were gay lovers, I mean, Volkanovski would have been arrested for domestic violence. I mean, he was just like one-sided route. It wasn't even close. And the scorecards are like, one judge had him up by 6 points at the end of 5 rounds. Why did that kid have to go 5 rounds to take that kind of beating? Because Dana won't allow them to quit. He won't allow them to resign. If you've lost the first 2-3 rounds, these are 5-minute rounds, you're getting your ass kicked, you're taking elbows, you're getting kneed, you're getting kicked, you're getting choked around. I mean, this is not good. Okay, this is taking life. Whether you want to admit it or not, it's taking it's not only is it taking miles off your MMA clock or your fighting clock. I think it's taking ticks off your heart, miles off your life. I kid you not. This is not. Listen, I'm not trying to say boxing is the greatest thing in the world. It's a hurting business too. Okay, but when Don Jose Suleiman went to 12 rounds and it was against everybody was like aghast at the fact he went to 12 rounds. This and that. Of course, you know, Muhammad Ali told me. On more than one occasion, we were watching TV together, watching fights together, and he said to me, I wish fights were 12 rounds when I was champ. You know, because he would have been able to save a lot more. That 13th and that 14th to 15th round, some of these sadists like Hector Martinez say, you know, we need a 13th, 14th to 15th round. I don't think we need that. I don't think, why? To see who's like, who's got a little bit more life left in him? I mean, guys get hurt in that 13th, 14th, and 15th round. And I'm not just talking about Johnny Owen. I mean, a lot of guys have gotten hurt and died. That seems when it happens. But the bottom line is, he cut it to 12 rounds. He pissed a lot of people off. And, you know, and I'm down with Jose in that, okay? Jose was willing to do that. Now, if Dana White were to take a similar approach and say, you know what? Some of these fights should be stopped because, you know, the beating is just, it's horrifically one-sided. And as I said before, you know, it's a little bit different when you're getting kicked in the head, when you're getting elbowed in the head, when you're getting forearms in the head, than it is with a padded boxing glove. I mean, the padded boxing glove's got, what, 8 ounces for the minimum and 10 ounces on the maximum for the most part. And the MMA glove is a 4-ounce glove. But MMA guys, for the most part, can't punch all that well. But then again, you've got a guy on the ground. You don't have to punch too well. You're hitting against something that's not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's why these go, oh, he looked awesome. Yeah, he looked awesome hitting a guy who couldn't move. I mean, when you've got a sitting duck, it's not a whole lot you can't do in the world of mixed martial arts. Anyway, that's why I think fights should be stopped sooner. Dana doesn't want to do it. I mean, they don't want to have, listen, the UFC doesn't even want to think about that. And the Nevada State Athletic Commission, I think their doctors should be more involved, and they're not more involved because Dana runs the show. I just hate it. Dana runs the show. You want to look at the UFC? I'm not trying to say he handpicks the officials. He might even handpick the officials. But the bottom line is he just runs the show, and they don't want to run afoul of Dana White. They don't. I could give a spit about Dana White. But, you know, he and I had our little business relationship, and then it went hot, and then it went cold. And I wish him the very best as far as his health is concerned, because he had some health issues over the years. But as far as a businessman is concerned, he's made a lot of money. But as far as, like, being good to people, I'm not down with that. Jamal Herring, of course, tonight, ESPN Plus, defending champion, 130 pounds, taking on Shakur Stevenson, 16 and zip. Of course, a kid from he says he's a street kid. I don't get that. I don't get that from him. I mean, I get stupidity sometimes, like, you know, maybe a little naiveness, but I don't get the street stuff from him that they try to portray him as being a street urchin or something like that. I just don't see it. Anyway, bottom line is that safety first style is supposed to bring him the victory night over Jamal Herring, but it should Herring rough him up and make this a fight, Shakur Stevenson will have to dig down deeper than he's ever dug before. And I don't know if he's got it down there. Everybody's saying, oh, man, he's got it. This is not Sugar Ray Leonard. This is not Ray Leonard taking on Andy Price, okay, unless he goes out there, Stevenson goes out there and lights him up in one round, okay? And that's what Ray did. See, Ray made statements. These guys aren't making statements. They aren't. And for the most part, Shakur Stevenson is following in the footsteps of Floyd Mayweather, you know, the phenomenal Floyd Mayweather, you know, where the excitement stops when the bell rings, for the most part. It just does. I mean, how many knockouts, brutal destructions, annihilations? I can go on and on about different words, but how many different times did Floyd say he was going to knock this guy, to destroy this guy, and do this, do that? He didn't do a whole lot of nothing. He didn't. He did enough to get by. He did enough to get hurt. And I understand the self-preservation thing because, you know, his uncle Roger Mayweather, may he rest in peace. He was a good guy to be around. Good guy. Good party guy. I didn't party all that much, but, you know, he used to like to have his beers and a few other things. But, you know, he died, what, about a year and a half ago? And when he died, he was a vegetable. I mean, that's the best. I mean, I don't want to say that in a derogatory term. I'm trying to say that in a term that you can understand it here on the radio. I mean, he was just in bad shape, and the bad shape was brought on by boxing. The residual effects of professional boxing are ugly. None of you out there get to go to these old-timer gigs every now and then. In fact, I'll be going to the International Boxing Hall of Fame next June, the second weekend in June of 2022 for the 2022 inductions. And I'll be going to you'll see fighters, and you can see the residual effects that boxing has laid on some of these guys. I mean, it's not pretty. It's just not pretty. I mean, there are the exceptions to the rule, guys that don't get damaged, like me. No, the guys that don't get damaged per se are much, but they are the exceptions to the rule. This is a hurting game. That's why I'm down with 12 rounds. I don't care what Hector says. 12 rounds establishes enough greatness for me. So anyway, Shakur Stevenson, 12-rounder tonight against Jamal Herring. Let's hope Jamal Herring can make this competitive, no doubt about that. The 29th, the guy by the name of Archie Sharp, taking on Alexis Buarame. Kibora. That's going to go down on ESPN, of course, as well. Of course, tonight's fight is on ESPN. The 29th is on ESPN. That's coming to us from London, the UK. And then they've got a couple of chicks going at it. The IBF WBC Super Middleweight Champion Unification match between Chantel Cameron and Mary McGee is going to take place on DAZN. That's going to come to the Q2 Arena October the 30th. So chicks getting prime time on DAZN. More power to them if they can deliver, deliver. Jose, because, you know, in the world of mixed martial arts, I mean, the women are far better. They put more on the line than the guys do, I think. They just yikes, man. Those chicks go out there and they give everything they got. I've never seen a woman not give 300% in a mixed martial arts fight because they think that they're scrutinized because they're women and they're in the cage and they feel they have to prove themselves, which is great for the sport. Women's boxing, yeah, you know, they haven't delivered all that much of late. They're getting better at it. There's some good names. Of course, Clarissa Shields keeps popping up, but I think she's a monster in MMA. What is she, like 2-0 now in MMA or close to 2-0? Where at first fight, that girl had her in that rear naked choke, and I thought, well, Clarissa Shields won't be doing no MMA no more. Okay, and she got out of that and she beat the girl up. So you got to give Clarissa some pop. So women's boxing is doing a little bit better. Let's go back to the schedule. The 30th, Jose Zabeda, the night before Halloween, going to take on Joshua Vargas, another fight on ESPN. Chantel Cameron and Mary McGee is a sit on the zone. Jamal James, kid worth watching. WBA regular welterweight timeline, taking on a guy by the name of Razab Budev. And Budev is, I believe, undefeated. Jamal James is the real deal, they say. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of guys at 147. Of course, you know, the kid from Texas, but Earl Spence gets all the props at 147. Speaking of 147, Udi Ugas. I forgot to ask Udi Ugas, the guy that conquered Manny Pacquiao about a month and a half ago. They're trying to push him into a promotional deal, or the WBA is trying to get him to fight somebody that he doesn't want to fight and this and that, or calling him not the real champion, this and that. If Manny Pacquiao wasn't the real champion of that circuit, then who was? Come on, man. I mean, Pac-Man had beaten some good guys along the way, without a doubt. And, of course, he left the weed smoker. I can't think of his name right now, but he beat him about 2 years ago. So that was his last fight before this one, before the fight that he lost. And, you know, Manny Pacquiao at 42 years old, he just couldn't deliver. And he's not going to be able to deliver in the rematch unless he gets double A, Alex Ariza. Alex Ariza is a secret weapon here. I think Alex will possibly get Manny in decent enough shape to where he can throw enough punches to prevail in a fight. The bottom line is his punch count dropped like 55 or 60, 70% in some fights. So if you drop that much as far as your punch output is concerned, you're probably not going to be all that successful, you know. And Freddie Roach and Justin, what was that clown's name, strength coach, Justin Fortune, okay? Those guys, they were blaming each other. They were pointing the finger at each other. Justin Fortune said it was Freddie's fault. Freddie said it was Justin Fortune's fault. The bottom line is at the end of the night, Manny Pacquiao lost. He lost almost every round, and now this guy can't get any respect. He was the opponent. He stepped up. He pulled off the upset of the year in the minds of a lot of people, and you got to give him props for that. And you know what? The judges went with what it should have happened. In other words, it was a justifiable decision without a doubt. But Ugas can't get any respect, no doubt about that. He is the Rodney Dangerfield of boxing, without a doubt. And, of course, he is the Rodney, without a doubt, the Rodney Dangerfield of boxing. Tower to the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk.
I always knew just what to do till I met you.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Okay, let's go.
She came near, she whispered in my ear. She seemed to know the reason why. She said, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Yeah. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing, baby.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know the old saying, you can't make chicken soup out of chicken spit. Sometimes we have to substitute the P for another letter. But the bottom line is, Anthony Joshua now is going to dump his UK trainer, the guy that's been training him, I think, for years, as a pro. He's going to drop him, evidently, and go with Eddie Reynoso, of course, the trainer of people like Eddie Ryan Garcia, Oscar Valdez, and, of course, Canelo Alvarez. Pound for pound, Reynoso's one of the better trainers in the world, but you can't make chicken soup out of chicken spit with an H. And I just don't think that Anthony Joshua's a real deal. At one point in time, I thought the late developing young man, of course, the 2012 Olympic gold medalist, I thought that he could develop into a great heavyweight. He can't. He won't. It's just not there. You can't take a Volkswagen to Indy 500 and expect to win. He's not Indy 500 type of material. He's just not. He's not the real deal. I mean, the fact that he failed miserably. I mean, both against Andy Ruiz. He had to come back and fight like a girl to beat Andy Ruiz a second time. I mean, and in this last fight, I mean, against Oleg Usyk. Usyk was like 25 pounds lighter. Like a smaller guy. A division smaller than him. And guess what? He got licked like a stamp. So what am I trying to tell you? Don't expect any change. If there's a rematch, the only change you will see is Oleg Usyk might stop Anthony Joshua and ruin and end the dream of the 2012 Olympic gold medalist. At the end of the day, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, you can check out the WBC's website at WBCBoxing.com. That's the interactive website of the World Boxing Council, is WBCBoxing.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. Once again, I thank you so much for tuning in to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We come to you Saturday. This is a Saturday show, October 23rd, 2021. We'll come back on Sunday. Same channels, twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA as well. Of course, the Sunday show, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 hours live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network. And we'll hear about Shakur Stevenson. Real deal or not? I leave you with that question. This is Ring Talk.